Wiley's
Hey, Wiley.
appearance.
Hey,
Okay.
Wiley.
And
Happy almost birthday, buddy.
I know.
Wait, he's gonna be a
Days.
teenager.
3 days. I know. Oh my God. Scary stuff. Let's see. How do I get turned off my
You
other
don't
screen?
have it.
Where is it?
No, you just don't have it.
Where's the camera?
I can do
Oh,
it.
no, it's fine. I just kind of weird.
We could put it up here.
Oh, hi, selfie. All right,
Would you
next.
stay there?
Oh,
Now we can do it.
no.
See? Now we can do
Bye-bye.
it. Okay. I just got back.
Where did you get back from?
They
Chicago.
went to Chicago. Wanda took them to Chicago on Thursday, so they were
Oh,
there.
nice. Is that their first time there?
Yeah, I think for both of them, yeah, this is there was their first time. So they went to a Cubs game. They went and they had deep dish pizza. They did all the
Wow.
things that I guess you're supposed to do in Chicago. So
Fun.
yeah, it was fun. I assume it was fun. They didn't look like they had much fun when they got back.
It didn't look like they had fun, but they did.
Mean, I don't know. Wanda didn't look like she had much fun either, so
Well, being a single parent with two kids.
it's hard. Doing trips is hard. It just is. You're the only one. So anyway.
Oh, here's one. Here's the other kid. What is your name?
I'm going on.
Mona.
I'm coming over to your house later, Stacy.
That's it.
You are? I'm so excited. I can't wait to see you. Is that today?
Yeah, I'm coming with Papa.
Oh, that's so
Mona
funny.
wants to help you and also
Can I
earn
sort
some
all
money.
the feet down, Bonnie Grace? Oh no, it's tied back in a tail.
Well, I see you
I
got
was
my.
like, is it, I didn't know if it was a new hairstyle all the way around, but I see you've got it tied in a tail.
Oh yeah,
Looks good.
it's kind of like cut. It's like shaved on one side, and then kind of long in the other.
Have
I like it.
Wyatt, and Stella gone back? Are they back in Boston?
No, they're here.
They're still there?
How long are they there for?
Stella goes back on to Boston on Monday, and Wyatt flies back to California on Wednesday.
Those family pictures were really good
Will he
last
fly
week.
out of Boston, or is he flying out of in New Hampshire,
Boston.
Boston?
Has it been nice to have him up, have him back a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. He's not loving being here. I mean, he's happy to see us, but he's not super psyched about New Hampshire these days. So,
Does he have any friends around, or are most of them gone?
yeah, no, he still has friends around. He just, I don't know. He's in his mood.
I get it. I get it.
He's 21, 21. Yeah.
I
Did
remember
you?
you at that age, Jared. You were
Really?
super moody
Oh,
and
sorry.
difficult
Yeah,
at that age.
I
And
was
you.
always a fantastic, great kid.
Lessa, what did you say about Jared? I didn't hear that.
I remember Jared at 21 and how moody he was about like everything. I
He
don't
was
know.
moody. He was moody from like 1 to 21.
Was.
He used to be, Jared, you don't remember this, but he used to get up in the morning and be in such a bad mood all the time. And I was exact opposite. It's really true. Actually, I don't think it's true. I could get up and be the annoying, like talkative guy. And I
What
still
would
am
I
that.
do?
I still am that guy. Still annoying and talkative.
Well, now I'm the one who gets up. I'm the only one in my home who gets up first and makes coffee and feeds the kitty
Yeah.
and
Gives me hope. Gives me
Yeah,
hope that
I
everyone
know.
else is in a bad mood in the morning. So, and I'm not. I'm
Well,
always like.
Wyatt, apparently he's super like chippy and great if he's like getting up to go skiing,
Yeah, okay.
snowboarding. But being home in New Hampshire with his
Yeah.
rents are not
Did
his
you,
jam.
Vanessa, did you read that story? I think it was in the New York Times. If not, it was in the Washington Post, on a town in New Hampshire that had this crazy evangelical person
Oh, like
on the,
a mural, right?
pardon?
Was it a mural? It was a mural, right?
It was murals that started it, yes.
I didn't read the article.
It was in Lewiston. Do you know where Lewiston is? It's I think it's north of you. Anyway,
well, that would be a good guess. Most things are north of us.
Not too much south. No. This woman
not
was,
much in New Hampshire.
Did you read it? Cullen, did you read the article?
No, I didn't read it. I saw it, but I didn't read it.
Oh, it was interesting. She's a nutcase.
Check it out.
Lewiston, though. Lewiston is Maine. That's Maine.
Well, so well, was
this
it,
one was definitely, there was that
California. And it starts with an L. Littleton. Maybe it was Littleton.
Littleton, New Hampshire, yes.
Okay, it's in the Littleton. How close is that to you?
Not very.
It's near Concord. I mean,
everything in New Hampshire.
Everything's kind of close. Close.
Right. It can't be more than 2 or 3 hours away. Hmm. But yeah, Littleton's up north.
Well, it was an interesting little article. Mm-hmm. So the crazies are everywhere. They're...
Of course they are.
They're everywhere. How much time do people have? I just want to check timing here. Now that we'll go probably longer than an hour, but do people have to log off at a certain time?
I probably only have an hour. Caden almost needs to go outside, so
that's fine. Does anyone remember where we left off last time? I don't recall, but I think we talked up to mom working, going to law school, I believe, right? Mm-hmm. I think that was covered. So, and I think, so I just wanted we can talk about whatever we want to talk about, but I think that was where we left off last time, was with mom in law school and then her jobs outside out of law school, right? Mm-hmm. So just to give you about what we covered.
But I have a question that's sort of related to that, but it was prior to your going to law school. So when we were growing up, you were both a body therapist and a Gestalt counselor, I believe. Was it Gestalt? It was Gestalt, right?
It was Gestalt.
So tell me about how you got sort of interested in both of those practices. I remember more people coming for body work than mm-hmm. for Gestalt. But how did you get interested in that? And then were you certified, or were you, what kind of training did you get for those?
The body work, a lot of that came from Mary Christensen. I mean, she got me interested in it. And then I found some teachers, but she was the one that started.
Did she also do that work?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes. Okay. In California, she did that. And we went, there was a man she worked with in, not Wisconsin, maybe it was Minnesota. Can't remember where it was, but anyway, I went with her, and this man came to Chicago, and that's how I met him. And he was a terrific body therapist, and I can't remember how I got interested and wanted to pursue Gestalt. I think it was that I had a Gestalt therapist in Chicago. And he had gone to the Gestalt Institute in Chicago, and he talked to me about it. And I decided I wanted to go there. And so I was in that for about 2.5 years. And I'd go once a month for a weekend.
And what years were this? What time frame?
They were in the 80s.
Right.
Probably... they were after I got my master's from Western in counseling. And oh, that's how it was. I got my master's in counseling and I took a an extra course. What am I trying to say? Off campus, and it was a Gestalt course that was offered in Chicago. And I went there and I met Shelley and he became my therapist. But out of meeting him, I decided I wanted to attend the Gestalt Institute in Chicago, and that's what I did. So that's how all that came about.
So to do that, you went to a weekend a month for 2.5 years, is that right? Mm-hmm. And then what did you become once you were done with that? Did you get a certificate?
They didn't really have certificates.
Okay. You just kind of were free to go and practice at that point.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And tell us a little bit about what it was. I mean, what was it like to be a therapist? What were your sessions like? How did you work with people? I'm curious about that.
Well, and can you explain a little bit about what Gestalt is? Like, who are the founders of it? You're right.
Oh, I'm trying to think who I can see him. He's German.
Yeah, it's I know exactly who you are.
Freud.
No,
it's not Freud.
But he knew Freud.
No, it's
I just can't think of his name.
I'll tell you.
Okay.
Jung, is it? Carl Jung?
No, it's not Jung.
It's
Jung.
No, it's not.
Jung.
Okay.
The
two people that's listed are Wilhelm Wundt and Edward Titchener?
No. Neither one of those.
Oh, who's the guy that did the body work stuff? The guy who did I can't think of his name.
I can see
a bunch of middle-aged people apparently on the Zoom.
I know.
Kofka, 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 Kurt Kofka.
Kofka.
Yeah, no.
We're all bugs.
Yeah. Metamorphosis. There's like a whole bunch of people here that are
listening. If you said his name.
Kurt Goldstein. I don't know. There's a bunch of people here. Anyway. Okay. Well,
Adolf
that's okay. We don't need to know the founder. But what's the basic practice? What's the basic?
Well, Gestalt is for the whole.
Wilhelm Reich.
Well, anyway, whoever it was, the belief was that trauma in your life that you've experienced whenever in your life is somewhere in your body. And in order to get beyond that, you have to release the trauma. You have to ascertain where the trauma is.
Mm-hmm.
Like it could be in your back, it could be in your shoulder, but it's in a place. It's not just somewhere in your body. It's in a place in your body, and working to release that and going back and working through that trauma to release it, to give it an exit, to open up that part of your body and to let it out. So Gestalt is interesting because it uses both some body work as well as, and certainly you're talking, sometimes it's very quiet where you just go back and try to ascertain where you were when that trauma happened, where you were, how was your body, who was around you, that kind of thing. Smells, it's associated with a smell.
So would people bring in like, hey, this is what I want to work on? Or would you sometimes, did they kind of lead what they want to work on, or is it kind of like you just talk at some point, you help them find out whatever the
No, they usually was. Come in and there was something in their life current, but it had its beginning back. It
right.
wasn't something was going on now that triggered what had happened in the past.
So
and it's finding that path to get back to either a person, a setting, an incident, whatever it was.
Would you, like, once they said, okay, now I'm going back into my trauma, it's in my body, what would you do when they would say, like, it's in this part of the body? Would you work on that part?
No.
Okay.
Oftentimes, they didn't know where it was in their body. They had no idea. They just knew they had a feeling. And having difficulty verbalizing what it was, what had triggered this, something in their everyday life now had triggered something that they couldn't put their finger on. So it was an exploration of what does that remind you of, and how did that feel, and where were you, and who in your past, and so it, I mean, that's sort of what it was, what it is.
Did you, Mom, do you know the book, The Body Keeps the Score?
Mm-hmm. I've got it.
Did that come out of Gestalt therapy? Like, was
you
that,
know,
because I feel,
you know,
like
I've often
I
wondered that, because there was another one before that, before The Body Keeps Its Secrets.
Keeps the score. The Body Keeps the Score.
There was one before that that Mary had introduced me to, probably in the 70s. But it's close to that in wording. But and I had it for years. I don't know if I could find it. It might be here somewhere. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Because now I've done a few sessions myself. I used to work with a woman who passed away about a year ago. And they call it somatic experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, was it Fritz Perls?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Fritz Perls.
Mm-hmm. Fritz Perl is the person who,
but I think
all
worked with Reich though too, right?
He did work with Reich, and he worked with Jung. He worked,
okay,
with, but he was a, he
different,
left them,
left
yeah.
Them. Okay.
And all of my teachers in Chicago had worked with him.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Now, this is like 40 years ago, so,
yeah.
And they'd worked with him prior to that, so.
Yeah.
Fritz Perl.
Hmm.
Anyway, so that woman worked with that, is that what you're saying, Vanessa?
Yeah, and she had done she was technically, in terms of like insurance and stuff, she was technically a physical therapist, but she did Rolfing and somatic experiencing,
mm-hmm,
as therapy. And yeah, and then I also read a book a couple of years ago. There's called My Grandmother's Hands, and
I got
this,
that book.
Yeah, and that's all about the same idea, right? That like we experience and hold trauma in our bodies, and that trauma is generational.
Is
like
passed, yeah.
You pass it on to, you know, from your parents, pass it to you. Do you pass it to your children?
Yeah.
And so like that book, My Grandmother's Hand, was like, babe, you know, was through the lens of how do we deal with racism, and like, how do we overcome racism? And he's basing this on like trauma in the body that is passed on generation. It's
mm-hmm.
really good. And it includes like all of these cool meditations and stuff for an individual to work through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their own stuff. So, yeah. Really
good
stuff.
Did you find, Mom, that really helped folks who you saw?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not an instant cure. I mean, people have to go in. They're going inward as well as going outward with their life. But I think it's a very good way to get in touch with past pain and past trauma, especially. And I mean, some people didn't even know the trauma.
How did you work with them as they went down into it? Like, did you just talk with them? Did you work with like blocks? Oh. Did you put hands on them? Did you have them breathe?
Well, we certainly did breathing. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. What kind?
Just deep breathing for them to slow everything down. That's how we always began the sessions for anybody.
Just to
come into themselves. Just, you know, to leave the outside world out there and kill them. So just coming into themselves and then figuring out where they are right now, what it is they want to explore, what they're feeling, give it a name. And it was, you know, it was verbal. Okay. If I did it over again, I think I would use art. I think art's really good to have people to just, and for children, it's terrific. But I think for adults to just to have them put it on paper.
Without words?
Without words.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's it.
And I asked, so in relation to, like you mentioned, breathing with your practice, what has been your relationship, if any, in your life to like breathing, meditation, like those kinds of activities? Have you done training or had a practice of those things?
I didn't do any training. There was a period, and I think this was more like in the 70s, where I did breathing as a meditation. And just doing deep breathing, slowing everything down,
mm-hmm.
and for about 15 minutes. I mean, it wasn't a long-term thing. I mean, at a time, it wasn't long-term. And I did that for maybe a year or two. We had a friend who was a chiropractor who used breathing. And I worked with him. He just showed me how to do it. And I just used it. It's when you all were little and Stacy was about 5. And I just needed time to come back to me, you know, being with little kids all day and all night.
Yeah.
I just needed a time when I could come back to me. And it was extremely helpful.
Yeah. Did you have any meditation practice throughout the years or any walking?
No, I really didn't. And I think I would really have, I'm sorry that I didn't, because I think it could have been really helpful, especially in certain periods of my life, that would have been really
well, I know
beneficial.
You walk, which is a form of that.
Yeah, and I did. And I mean, I walked for miles.
Yeah.
And I think my walking was my meditation.
Yeah. I mean, that's another
and
form
just,
of that. Really helps,
you know,
to bring
just,
you.
Just being and being alone.
Yeah.
Oftentimes I wanted to walk by myself. I didn't, you know, how some people walk and they talk and I wasn't interested in them.
Yeah. How long would you walk when you did walk?
Oh, it was like an hour and a half or 2 hours.
Okay. Like that's about 5 to 10 miles.
Yeah. It was about, I had a route in the Quad Cities that I did. And that was about 5 miles.
And would you do it every single day?
Mm-hmm. For a period of time, I did it every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was really beneficial.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the best things. I find that now it's being one of the best things.
Yeah, walking.
I still remember that route. I can do that route.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I did that walk with you a lot.
Where was that route?
Well, I could even get as far as Mike and Anna's house, the Phil's house, and back. And then there was another one where I went almost to Moline.
Oh, really?
That's the one I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had this one route that.
Yeah, so what's funny about that, about walking, of course, most places walking is not a weird thing, but like nobody walks in the Quad Cities. Like you go out and like, first of all, you're the only one not in a car. And then it's like sometimes when you're walking, there's no sidewalk, right? So it's like you have to walk on the
Yeah.
street. And it's just such
Exactly.
a like a non-walking. I mean, people walk, I'm not saying no one walks, but it just it's like a lot of places where just everybody is so car centric. It's not a and mom like walking now is like everybody does it, but like back then, I'm sure you I don't know if there are other people out doing it. Certainly in
I'm
like
sure they were probably so used to jog or run, right? So you weren't
yeah, but that wasn't
yeah,
like
but
that big a deal back then.
not like today.
Yeah.
I mean, and Daddy and I walk down at Boren Park, and oftentimes we see the same people. Not always, but oftentimes we see the same people. But people walk everywhere. I
Here,
mean,
now,
yeah.
yeah.
It's not a novelty.
Mom, can I ask you another question? And I don't want to dominate the conversation, but we'd asked Dad this, and so I'm interested in what your response is. We'd asked him what his biggest challenges were in his life, or times in his life where, it was really hard, or they had you had to overcome a difficulty or something that was traumatic. What would you say in your life was some of those times? It could be any time in your life. It could even be when you're not.
I'm tra this doesn't this wasn't traumatic, but a difficult time was when you all were little. I mean, really little, like I was still nursing, so you were under two, and I just didn't have any time to myself. And that was the most distressing for me. And even if I just wanted a little time to read, and oftentimes I would be up at 2 in the morning because everyone was asleep, and that was the time I could read and not be interrupted. And so it wasn't traumatic. I don't mean it like that. It was just, I felt like I was losing me. There was no me. And that was hard. It didn't last very long because by the time you all were 2.5 or 3, I had snippets of time for myself, and it was enough. But it was just those few months where I just didn't have any time for me. And Daddy would come home from work, and he was tired, and all three of you would want him, and he was tired, and trying to negotiate that. Well, any parent, they go through that. I mean, every parent goes through that. You come home, you're tired, your kid wants you, your spouse wants you. It's just
Hard.
What? Luna's gonna go in the hot tub.
Nice.
You, Mona Grace. Hello.
Jacuzzi.
Okay.
See you
It's like
later.
Yeah, fun.
jacuzzi gear. Yeah, well, obviously we all
Oh,
can relate
and the
to.
other traumatic time for me was when I was in law school. And the recognition that my mind didn't work like everyone else's did, and that's because I was 30 years older than most of the people in my class. And it just took me so much longer to get something, to understand it. And everyone else was sort of whipping along, and I was in a study class that I started, and two of the people in it were the number one and number two students in law school. In my class, they graduated number one and two. And this was so easy for them. I mean, law school isn't easy for anyone, but they could read something and understand it and remember it. And it was the first time I was 51 when I started that I really understood that my brain didn't work like 20-year-olds. It just didn't work that way.
Was that a factor of age, or was that just a factor of like your brain just wasn't?
Well, some of it was age, because when I would talk to people that weren't in law school that were my age, they'd say, "Well, everyone. It's different for everyone." And I think, no, you don't get it. So I think when I was in law school, it was the first time I was very aware of my age in a way that I'd never been aware of my age. So that was hard.
What were to just piggyback on that, what was the, the, I don't know if the word best is the right word here, but what was your most, like, you look back at periods of your life, what's the period of your life you look back on and say, oh, well, that was the best, or that was the most fun, or that was, that just st sticks out as a great time.
I loved living in our first house
Oh, in
on
the first
21st
house.
Avenue.
Okay.
Yeah, I loved that house.
Yeah.
It wasn't just that. It was just that time in my life where I was very satisfied.
What was it that made it feel that?
I don't know. We had fun as a family. And looking back now, I see what a fleeting moment that was. I mean, it was like that. You look back at your children when they're little, and it just went like that. At the time, it didn't feel that way. At the time, you're thinking, will I ever get to sleep through the night? But looking back at it was just a moment. And probably you glorify it, or I glorify it somewhat, making it more than it really was. It was just a very good time in my life. I really liked it.
When we were 2 and 3 or something like that, or
Yeah,
younger.
you all were little. Stacy
You look
was
like
little.
eight.
Yeah, when we moved to the big house, Stacy was 10 and you were 5.
What are the
But
memories of that when you moved in? Were you happy to move, or I mean,
To the big house
yeah.
when we
Yeah.
moved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that was just an exciting day. Yeah. All of your cousins were there. You
I
probably don't
remember,
remember
yeah.
that, but they were there. So it was a madhouse, and so many friends came over to help us move in. And it was, I had been in that house. The woman who owned it before us was a Tridell, and she had some Tridell meetings there, and that's how I was in the house. And the first time I went in, I said to her, "When you decide to sell this house, please call me. I want to buy this house." And that was probably 5 or 6 years before they sold the house, but she did remember, and she did call me, and we did buy it.
Yeah, what were their names? The Lokins, the lo the
No, it'll come.
the
Not
Potter
my.
starts with an L, though. I remember.
The Potters. Are you talking about who owned the house?
No,
The
Stacey,
Potters
that was way
were the one
before.
right before the Potters were.
We're talking about the people who owned the house that we bought it from. The
Yeah,
Potters
not
were
the.
the 30s.
Yeah.
The 30s.
Yeah, there was another
The Evans.
Evans, yeah.
Evans,
Oh, the
sorry.
Evans,
Yeah.
you're right. Evans.
And they
Okay.
had three or four girls that went to Rock Island High, and really nice couple. And they'd lived there about 18 or 20 years. We lived there the longest of anyone who ever owned the house.
Really? Oh, wow. Yeah.
Because people grew their family, and then once their kids left, that's a big house for two people. So,
It's so funny to think of our house as being owned by anybody else, with any other
yeah.
families having, you know what I mean? It was so our family that I have a hard time saying, what? Someone else in our house?
Well, you guys were in there for what, 31 years? 77
31
to
or
2000?
we bought it in 69.
No,
78.
Oh,
70,
I'm sorry.
77.
We bought it in 78, and we
78.
sold it in 2008.
Yeah, so 30 years.
3 years. Okay.
I love that house. That's my, I love the first house too. I did love that little house, but I love the second house just with all the
I
spaces,
know.
Yeah,
different
I
spaces,
know.
that was just
Functions.
set
I'll
up.
tell you, Daddy has such memories of that house.
Yeah.
I love
And
that
I
house.
won't take him by it now because they just let it go. And
Yeah, thank
yeah,
you.
you
it
don't want to
just
go buy
annoyed.
it. I went by it when I was home a few years ago, and it's very sad. I mean, somebody will buy it hopefully and fix it up, but it's in
Yeah,
very bad shape.
it's
Oh, I know.
just.
It's awful. It's
Stacey,
Well, and
your
they put a
classmate of
screen,
yours
they put a
owned
screen fence
a
around the whole
thing
thing too.
from high school.
What, Colin?
I said a classmate from your from high school in your class owns it.
Who?
Do you remember her name?
She's a potter. She that's not her
Oh,
last name,
but
but her
she's
grandmother
related to it.
was her grandmother was the potter. They owned the Argus. That family owned
Oh.
the Argus
Well, then how
newspaper.
can she let a family heirloom
I don't
fall into?
Well, they just don't do any of the work. They're just like, it's, I mean, it's strange, but they're just like, well, yeah. I mean, she said something about like, well, we're gonna fix it up at some point. I'm like, you don't fix it up after 15 years of not doing anything, you know? They put a fence. They put a fence around one side of it, or I think around the back and around the side on the street. It just looks trashy. It looks. I
Yeah.
mean, which is our house never looked. I mean, it wasn't that kind of house, you know. But now it just looks like trashy,
You
you know. And it's just sad.
ah,
you gotta hold on to your memory and not,
Yeah,
you
I
know,
mean, I know it's
don't.
just a house, but like that house. Just means like it's just lodged in my soul.
Yeah.
Yeah, she used to be on Facebook. I used to talk to her a lot on Facebook. I forget her name, but I didn't know her, but once she bought the house, I knew her. So.
Yeah.
But she was in Stacy's class.
Okay.
She was the
Huh.
same. She graduated the same year as you did, Stacey. I'm sure you didn't know her. Sounds like you didn't know her, but she was, yeah.
Crazy.
Well, Mom, here's another. Sorry. All right, wait. I'm going to pause and see if other people want to ask questions. Sorry. I'm being that guy. Okay, I'm going to throw out a question. What do you think? These are more general questions because I think we've gone over most of your life. But what do you think are what's your biggest accomplishment in your life, and then what's your biggest regret?
Oh my God. My poor children are my biggest accomplishment, for sure.
Who is your favorite?
Except for Jared.
That's
Jared's your greatest regret, right? That's okay, you don't need to add
this
that.
isn't. There's something I wish that I could go back and change, and that is. I would like to go back and my mother be alive. And I just like to talk to her. I just like to talk to her.
No.
Yeah. And
What do you want to say to her? Where
oh, just thank her for all the things she did
Yeah.
that I was not gracious enough to say at the time. But she was just a lovely person. And I would like to tell her that. And I never told her that.
You never did.
I never did. I
Do
wasn't
you feel
mean
like,
to her,
yeah.
but I never said, "You are a terrific mom. And I'm so glad you're my mom." And I would like to say that to her. I'd like her to know that.
Do you feel like you had a close relationship with her?
No, I had a good relationship with her, but not a close. She wasn't someone where I could tell her what was going on in my life. She would have died if she told what was going on in my life. She wasn't. she was, I think, very naive and didn't really understand a lot. And my dad was really, you know, controlling of her. And she had a hard time standing up for herself. And it wasn't until I was an adult when I could intervene in that and let her know that that wasn't okay and I was on her side and that wasn't going to happen. So I'm glad that happened. But I just wish there are just times when I would just like to sit down and talk to her. It would be wonderful. Which is not strange, but a couple of weeks ago, when Aunt Marcia went in the hospital, and they didn't know, I didn't know why she was in the hospital. I didn't know if she'd had a stroke. I didn't know what was going on. And two other things happened that were, one of our friends was sick, and one of our friends had been diagnosed with cancer, and I just wanted to talk to someone, but I didn't want them to say, oh, it's all going to be okay. I wanted someone to listen to me, and all I wanted them to say was, I hear you. I didn't want them to make it okay. Like, I think men especially, unfortunately, they just want to make everything okay. If you have a problem, well, just do this. Let's fix it. Instead of allowing you to say, I just need to tell you how I feel. I'm not looking for an answer of how to feel better. And in this case, there was no feeling better. I just wanted to be heard. And I called all of my friends here, all of my close friends here are your all's age. They're 50, and they're between 50 and 55. So I'm the age of some of their mothers. So when I talk to them, they don't hear me as an equal. They hear me, rightly so, as another generation. And I couldn't call them because I didn't feel like I'd be heard. So then I called several people that I normally can talk to, and nobody answered their phone. I mean, I went through about four people. No one answered their phone. So I called a friend of mine that none of you know in the Quad Cities, Rosemary Okar, who for 20 years has been a really good friend. And she would be, on the one hand, the last person you'd think to call. She's a very funny person. Funny, I mean humorous. She's half Welsh, and she has all these Welsh sayings that just make you fall over. They're so funny. She's a very upbeat person, and she'll tell a joke and she'll laugh. But she's the person I called because her husband died a month ago. And I knew she'd understand loss. And boy, was she ever there. She was just fantastic. And she just listened. And she said the magic words, I hear you, which is all I wanted. I just wanted to be heard. I didn't want to be fixed. And and she was so thankful that I thought of her, because I'm not sure she thinks of herself that way. I don't know. But she was just wonderful. So we all need a friend like that. You know, you don't go to people to say, fix me. Or I don't go to people. I go to people to say, hear me.
Yeah.
Just hear me. And
Let me tell you how you can fix that, Mom. Here's the best way to do that.
Okay.
Just joking. I've learned that in my marriage too. So my wife had to train me.
Oh, men are just the worst.
We are.
In Minnie is County. Zach that way, Vanessa?
No, I feel like, I mean, no, I would say no. And I can't remember if that's really changed, but no, he's not a like, okay, here's what you should do. Because he's so fiercely independent that he would not dare to encroach on someone else's fierce independence, which I am too. So like, he's very respectful of other people figuring things out. And if I say to him, hey, I need your help, will you let me, like, what should I do? That's,
yeah, that that's would be different.
But
that's different. Well, daddy's very much, if you have a problem, he wants to fix it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He's gonna.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I will say to him sometimes, don't tell me how to, I just want you to listen to me.
Yeah.
And don't come up with a solution. And the one person I didn't call for that very reason, and she's been a good friend for 45 years, is Jan Boyd, because she always wants to fix it. If I say something, well, have you thought about this? Have you tried this? You know, maybe if you, she just can't hear, and she doesn't like to hear. She doesn't like you to be in a bad place. Mm-hmm. Well, let's, you know, well, come on, let's get you to a good place. But I'm in a bad place. And I'm not trying to get to a good, I'm trying to understand this bad place. And so when I did talk to her, I said, I'm going to share with you how I am right now, but I'm going to make a request. Do not try to make it better. And it really, she was silent for about 30 seconds. I don't think anyone's ever said that to her, ever. And she said, okay. And she listened and she didn't try to fix it. But now weeks have gone by, and I was telling her something the other day, and the first thing out of her mouth was, have you thought about such and such?
Yeah.
And I said, Jan, don't try to fix it.
Yeah.
It's just her immediate response. You know, she always.
Well, it's a pattern for many of us that's hard to get out of, because like, that's just because we want to help. But also, like, that's where our brains go. We're like, oh, well, have you know, and it's like we can't help but fall back into that pattern unless we really try not, unless we're told again and again, stop doing that. No.
I know.
Could I ask you another question?
Yes.
What are your spiritual/religious beliefs, including... What do you think we go once we leave this lifetime? Once we leave this plane?
I have no idea.
Okay.
And I don't have a spiritual, I don't. And I'm definitely not religious, definitely.
Uh-huh.
And the Baptist Church did me in. And I was probably that, will never recover when I was a kid, yeah.
How long did you go to church?
Well, we went probably two or three times a month, not every Sunday, but most. My daddy didn't go very often. Sometimes he did, but my mom took my sister and I. And then part of my mom's family, they became missionaries. I told you this, and they went to Africa to save the Africans. And then they came back here, and the African Americans couldn't come in their church because their churches were white. And when I learned that at 13, I said, that's bullshit. And I never went back to church again. And the Baptists just drive me over the wall. So, and I'm really quite comfortable not having a religious.
I mean, do you believe in any higher power/anything like, do you think we go on to other lives? Do you think?
I think there's a real possibility.
Yeah.
You know, that it might be. I don't believe one way or the other, but I think it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
It's real hard for me to get my head around, I die and everything stops.
Yeah.
Like, well, at least I want to know what's going on down here. I may be gone, but just let me know what's going on here. Yeah. It's real hard to believe you live a life and then you're gone and then it's done.
Yeah.
So it's a question, and I've done a lot of reading with to hear what other people think. And I mean, I'm not alone in people saying, I don't know, but I think there's a possibility.
Yeah.
That something else happens.
Have you ever been like in contact or in touch with folks who have died or passed on?
Only dreams.
Okay.
Only dreams. Some people come back to me in a dream. Mm-hmm. And it always surprises me because it's someone I haven't thought of, and they just, I mean, the strangest people. Reed Doty was in a dream 2 weeks ago.
Did Reed die?
No, he didn't die. But he was in a dream. And I woke up and thought, that is the weirdest thing. I mean, if it had been Fran, it would have been a little bit. I could understand that a little. But Reed Doty? No. My dreams, and my dreams are very real. And I can talk about them in the morning. Dad gets sick of hearing it. But I mean, I can relate for maybe 15 minutes. This happened and this happened and this happened. And so, no one dead has been in my dreams that I remember, at least. It could be. Could be. Before I forget it, this is a new subject. I just want to remind everyone, and you said, Wiley turns 13 on Wednesday, and Stella turns 24 on the 11th of this of May. So I just want to remind everyone that you have niece and nephew that have birthdays.
Yep, and someone else's 80th birthday is not too long.
And then, yes.
Not too far away.
Right.
So, Mama, what do you want to do to celebrate your 80th? I mean, this is like a big one. I mean, I think, like, let's celebrate, wait, right?
So let me tell you where I am. I want nothing.
Okay, let's have a drink. Let's go streamers and have a drink. I'm not talking, you know, if you don't want gifts.
No, Daddy was very uncomfortable with that. And I was just
uncomfortable with what?
With my not wanting anything. And Roman, you all know Roman Schultz.
Yeah.
Well, he turns 90 in July. And Mary, his wife, was having a party for him. And Daddy and I were going to go before the wedding in Kansas City. So we were going to fly into Kansas City, go to the Quad Cities, and come back. Well, Roman evidently said to Mary, I don't want anything for my birthday, and if you plan something, I want you to cancel it. Now, she had planned this enormous. She'd rented the Figgy in the Quad Cities, and people were coming from all over. He said, I want you to cancel it. Roman's two best friends, Lo Milani and Richard Ocar. Richard Ocar died last month, and Lo Milani died about 2 years ago. Those were his two closest friends. And he said, my two closest friends are dead, and I don't want this party. So Mary immediately canceled everything, canceled the piggy.
Oh, man.
Well, 3 weeks later, Roman came back and said, I think I did a no-no. He said, I want the party. Let's have the party. So she called the Figgy, and the Figgy was gone on the date that they wanted it. It had been reserved. So keeping that in mind, when Daddy was really sorry that I didn't want anything. So I think we're going to have a dinner, not here, but have a dinner out somewhere. And I'm thinking of Monsoon. To rent the back room at Monsoon. On my birthday, Stacy, you're not here.
I know that. Yes, I know. So I'm hoping, well, and we've got an opportunity when you'll be with your children in August, right? All of the children together in August. So I was wondering, could we celebrate together? I mean, in addition to you, and I'm so sorry I'm not going to be here for your birthday, but could we celebrate perhaps when we've got the East Coasters, and we never get to see the East Coasters?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Great. I don't know how you
Ellen
said that.
Wyatt,
we're gonna
oh, yeah.
figure that out.
Okay, that would be fun.
It may not be like a whole night or something like that because of.
Well, it won't be able to be a whole night because
it won't what?
I mean, we couldn't do a night there because Friday and Saturday night are wedding things.
Yeah,
it'd have to
so
be like
maybe
a
an afternoon.
Morning brunch.
Yeah. But we thought lunch. Because
oh, that would be
family being there.
That so would be just that would be fun.
Great.
That would be fun. I will say this birthday is different. I mean, none of you have turned 60, but when you turn 60, you'll understand what I'm about to say. You'll feel 60 in a way that you didn't feel 50 or 40. And then when you turn 70, you'll feel it differently than when you were 60 or 50. And I'm finding that when you turn 80, you really feel it differently. And I.
Well, I feel like I'm 60. So does that count?
I feel like I'm 80.
Well, it gets more real, believe me. And one thing, and I've tried to, you know, I always hit Daddy when he does this. We'll be out with our friends, all of whom are in their 50s.
You have friends who are in your...
Our closest friends here are all in their 50s. Wow. Because they're my Malawi friends, the women I went over with and their husbands. And we do all sorts of things with them. We go to hockey games. We do all sorts of things. Most of them have no idea how old Daddy and I are. They don't. It doesn't register because... You know, we all do these things together. And Daddy will say things, well, you know, by the time you're 82, and they go, what? And I said to him, quit saying that. Because once in their mind, you're 82, you are different. You're not 50. You're not part of this generation. And I said, quit doing that. It just pisses me off. And I said, stop doing that. But I have to remind him all the time. And he's perfectly fine about it. I mean, you know, I'm 82 and
well, I was gonna say Dad, I think looks great for his age, but I don't think he passes for 50, right?
No.
I wouldn't look at Dad and think that's a 50-year-old. I think, maybe he's like 70, right? I mean, I think Dad looks in great shape for his age, but I don't believe other people think he's 50.
I don't mean they think he's 50, but they think it is a different generation. Are you driving?
I will say that I have friends who are 75 and 80, 81, 82. I don't think of them as like age at that point, after a certain age, like it's just kind of how do they live their lives? Like these folks that are my friends who are 70 and plus, they're so like, in their lives, yeah. You know what I mean? That it doesn't cross my mind that they're old because I'm like, you're not old. You're, and I'm always shocked to hear what their age is, you know, because I'm like, wow, you guys are, but they're so ensconced in their life and are busy and are doing things that I'm like, you guys are totally
well,
young.
That is the gift about being 75 or 80
yeah.
is there's a freedom in being that age that I don't think you have when you're in your 50s.
Mm-hmm.
For one thing, who cares? I mean, at 80, you can honestly say, who cares what they think?
Yeah.
I don't care. So it's a little bit of a double-edged sword. But anyway, so we are going to do something for my birthday.
Great. Here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and you won't be here.
I'm sorry, Mom. I missed it. I'm so sorry.
You'll be in Philadelphia
three times a year, and the odds of it hitting on your birthday, and I'm just like, but there's only two flights out. It's so anyway, so I've got the
it's fine. And you all leave on Saturday for a Friday for Austin.
Yep. Let's see, Lanessa, I'm going to mess it up again. Yes, so Lanessa and I are flying down this Friday to spend a long weekend with Sherry in Austin.
What are you all going to do?
Nice.
Be fucking hot. It's like 80 degrees there. I'm like, what?
Oh, wait.
What? Oh,
Lanessa's
going to love it.
Yeah. Go out to listen to some music.
Good music.
Right, we're going to go on walks and have great food and walk around Lady Bird Lake.
And a paddleboard.
And hear music.
You're going to paddleboard?
Cool.
Oh, mm-hmm. fun.
Nice.
Fun. Oh, that's just great. I'm so glad you all are going.
You know, I went with Sherry to see Sharon and Roxanna Ken last weekend.
How was that?
That was interesting.
Yeah.
Well, wait, so very Ken,
interesting people.
But Ken lives with Sharon, right?
Ken lives with Sharon, yeah.
Ken lives with Sharon. Yeah. And so does Roxanna, right?
No, Roxanna lives like a mile away.
Oh, okay.
In great. Another house.
Got it.
So what was your impression? I'm not getting the feel for this.
I mean, they're just, they're interesting, you know, kind of eclectic people. You're just not like, I mean, they're just, Ken doesn't really, you know, have a job. He's a musician, plays gigs and stuff.
He doesn't have a job. Apparently you can go through life and be fine and not have a job. Like, he's never been gainfully employed, but look, he's managed and he has grandchildren. And I'm like, wow.
Huh? And Roxanna is finishing up her, there, they use they, them pronouns. Their hours of, to be, she's, they're an art therapist.
Oh, wow.
So they're finishing up hours to get their, finish their certification for that.
Great.
And how's Sharon doing?
Sharon seemed good. She seemed older to me. I mean, obviously I haven't seen her since, I don't think, Mark's wedding.
Were you at Anne's wedding? Or Anne's funeral? Were you at Anne's
funeral? I was at the funeral.
Oh. Yeah, she wasn't there. We all saw them, what was that? Mm-hmm. Mom, a year and a half ago, whatever it was, a year ago.
In Annapolis, right?
Annapolis, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was, you know, it was nice. They're just, they're just interesting people.
Very different.
Yeah, yes. they're all very, very nice, but they're all yeah. They're
which interesting. Is so interesting because Roxy, for me, well, to me, like, Harry and Anne are not vanilla in a bad way at all, but like, they're so not weird or crazy, and yet their children are all kind of crazy, again, not in a bad way, they're like just very, very different. And it's so funny because Aunt Anne and Harry are like not different at all.
Yeah, but they were very open. You know,
yes.
And
yeah.
I think that probably allowed their kids to be
very progressive.
Yeah. Yes, I would absolutely agree with that.
You know,
they chose a lot. They weren't particularly wild in their lives, but yes, extremely progressive and welcoming and accommodating, but they didn't do crazy things. Well, I mean, maybe, you know, Aunt Anne lived all over the world, so maybe that set her ability to just be with all sorts of people and really have no problem with it. Yeah, so I think she was unusual. But yeah, but it's just, I find it so interesting, her life versus her children's lives. Very different paths.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, let me ask one thing. One other question. On the cusp of 80 years, Mom, what advice would you give us, your kids, as we've lived through these years? What would you give?
Live your life now. Don't put off things. Absolutely don't put off things. I'd say travel as much as you can at the age you are right now, because travel does become more difficult as you get older. It's not impossible. Daddy and I will continue to travel, but it takes a lot more energy to travel now than it did at 50 or 55. So travel as much as you can. Have as many experiences as you can. Embrace life. You know, whatever anyone is going through, everyone goes through bad times. Everyone goes through good times. And neither one of them are forever.
And who's your favorite kid? Let's just add that. Let's throw that out as the last.
We all know who it is.
Vanessa, I just finished a couple weeks ago. I just read The Midnight Library, and I loved it so much. Oh my God, Mama, have you read that?
No.
What's it called?
The Midnight Library. Midnight
Library. It is amazing. It's been on bestseller list for years, and I just have never got around to it. Oh my God, it's so good. I just got his one in where he talks about time travel, right? The guy who lives, like, I forget the name of it, someone who, not a vampire or whatever, but someone who has lived forever and now they're becoming mortal or something, which sounds really crazy, but I so love Midnight Library. I can't wait to read this one. Like, it's like how to live past time or how to live through time or how to stop time or something, but I'm so eager to read it because I just love Midnight Library.
I'm reading He, She, They.
Oh, good.
It's a transgender book. There it is. It's in my
He came and spoke at my school about a month ago. He's trans masculine. It's his story. He's trans masculine, and it's also just like a guide to trans people and gender non-binary people.
Cool.
So I highly recommend it.
Club at school. What are they called? CSA, what's it? It's GSA? Gay Straight Alliance. Gay Straight Alliance.
GSA. We have one of those.
Yeah. So Mona's learning more about that. It's going to start a club.
Mona Grace.
Yep.
Hey. Caden belongs to the Rainbow Alliance at school, and it's one of his favorite things. Yeah, he loves it. She's always so excited. He's like, "Oh, we have Rainbow Alliance today." I'm like, "Yeah."
Good for him.
He's very earnest about it too. He'll come back and talk about it.
Goodbye. Love to you all.
Okay.
Do you all want to just say hello to my children really quickly?
Yeah.
Not really. Just kidding.
So I want to say hi.
Wait, are you guys watching the game?
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi.
Wait, are you guys watching the Dallas game? Which game are you watching?
What are you guys watching?
Oh,
what's
sorry.
The score? I think Dallas getting blown out before.
Okay.
So,
were the kids always there? Yeah. Were the kids there the whole hour?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Have you guys actually moved at all today?
You guys look like you're lazy.
I just go back to the gym.
Okay.
That counts for something.
All right, folks.
Hey, Wyatt, I was just saying,
we have our call on Monday, so we'll do this again.
Yeah. Wait, I was just going to tell Wyatt I don't like his mustache.
I'm sorry.
Than a mustache. He's got, there's
no. Oh, is it okay? I guess it's more.
It's the whole thing.
I don't approve of it.
Your facial hair.
No, I like it. Mustaches are in. They're everybody's got a mustache.
And there's Dan.
Anyway,
also just happy to be with you.
All right, everybody. Okay.
Bye, folks.
Good to see you. Okay.
Talk to you on Monday. Bye,
everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Clicking me wrong.